and on the earth a peace among all those on whom his favor rests. Oh, come and worship, Lord, do not be afraid. The sun is given. Let every heart prepare his throne. Let every nation under him. Oh, come and worship. Oh, do not be afraid.
God, do you believe that this morning? He is wonderful. And we need to tell our friends and our neighbors about our wonderful God, that he did not just sit up in heaven and watch his creation perish in their sins, that he is a compassionate God who stepped down to be into this broken world so that he could save his people and redeem them. So I encourage you, as you worship the Lord this week for who he is, invite your friends and neighbors to join you. We have these cards in the lobby for you to pick up that you can give to those that you are in contact with this week and invite them to come and worship with you, our awesome God. We've got two services this week for you. Same service, about 45 minutes long. We have one on the 23rd and one on the 24th. The one on the 23rd is going to be outside at 7 o'clock in the same area where we had our outside services earlier this year. And as long as there's not heavy rain or heavy snow, we'll be outside. If it is, we'll bring it inside. But if it's outside, we'll have hand warmers for you and some hot cocoa, and we'll get to enjoy outside while we worship the Lord. On the 24th, we'll have it inside, and that is going to be at 4 o'clock p.m., and that one is going to be live streamed, so you can attend that one in person or online. And one thing I forgot to mention about the outdoor one, if you're available to bring a chair, that would be great. Otherwise, we'll have chairs available as well. And if you come to the inside one, we already have the pews for you, so you're all set. Perfect. Thank you for joining this Sunday's worship service. Whether you are here in person or online, welcome. If you are a guest checking us out today, a special welcome to you. We have this Connect card that you can fill out. Take it to our guest center in the back, and our lovely guest services person will answer your questions and be able to give you a gift and thank you for coming. If you're online, you can click on the screen there and download your Connect card to fill out, as well as you can get your sermon notes on there to participate with us online. If you're here and you have prayer requests, you can fill out this Connect card and stick it in the receptacles as you leave. And also, if you're online, you can put your prayer requests on your Connect card there. If I haven't had the privilege of connecting with you yet, my name is Kendra Sankovich, and I am the Adult Ministries Coordinator, and I run Connections here at Westgate. And part of my job that I get to do is run women's Bible studies. And I love it because Westgate women's Bible studies are amazing. Did you know that this fall we had over 100 women participate in Bible studies here at Westgate? Over 100! We social distanced, we wore a mask. It was great just to spend time together as women and be able to grow in God's word, both like learning more knowledge and then applying it to our lives. So I encourage you to check out this lovely flyer that is on the tables out there or at westgatechapel.org/events that you can look at all of our different Bible study options coming up starting in January. There's 6 different options. They meet on different days of the week, different times. There's even 2 of them that are hybrid, meaning that you can meet either in person or online on any given day, depending on how you're feeling. So check those out. For the ones that start in January, the deadline for registration and ordering books through us is tomorrow. So don't delay. Go online and look at that. Also, I'll be in the table at the cafe area after service today that you can stop by. You can register in person if you would like to ask me any questions that you have and learn more about women's Bible studies. So I encourage you to check those out, and I'll turn it over to Pastor Rob for announcement.
Great. Well, thank you very much. And Marlena, go ahead and come and join me up here. Church family, again, it is good to be here with you. And we have not had the opportunity yet to introduce this person that many of you already know, but this is Marlena. And as you know, we have been going through since Leah left. Yeah. Woo. You didn't even let me get to the announcement. They just love you that much. I love it. Well, hey, we've been going through a search for our next kids ministry director, and we have looked at many candidates, and lo and behold, here sitting in our church, Marlena has a ton of experience in children's ministry, and as we went through the process, our search team, our elders, we are so happy that Marlena is going to be and is our next kids ministry director here at Westgate, and so I hope that you will have the time to welcome her into the role, not necessarily to the church. It still feels weird. It's like, sorry, here, kind of, sort of. Anyway, getting used to it. But we're very excited about all the things that are going on in kids ministries. We're navigating the pandemic, figuring some things out. And Marlena, as we have been talking together, we know that there has been some confusion about what's actually going on right now with kids ministry. And so would you maybe share with us a little bit of how families and kids can get connected right now in this season?
Sure. First of all, kiddos in here, can you say hi? Let me hear you. Kids in here, say hi. Let me see. Okay, online, we love you. Sorry, I just had to do that. So we are so excited because we have been, right now, we have two options for you. We have online only, and then we also have in person. For online, we do have a 9 o'clock. If you go to our Westgate Kids private Facebook group, you'll see Miss Lana and Miss Denine on there, and they are doing that every single Sunday morning. You can check that out and interact with them on Facebook Live. Also, as far as online, we do have our Awana, which is Zoom and in-home, at home with your parents, and that's happening every Wednesday night. So that's our online. In person, we are so excited because we've been doing this for a few months now, and it has been going awesome. We have had elementary kids are meeting in the gym, preschool, they're in our preschool hall using our preschool classrooms, and they get to come in here, elementary, get to worship with their parents, and then they get to come and join us. We're doing games, we're doing more worship, and doing Bible teaching straight from God's Word, and so we have been loving that. If you want more information or you're confused or not sure where to go, if you check out our westgatechapel.org/events, you will see all of the buttons to click on there right there for you to be able to sign up and register your kids each week for our in-person offerings.
Great. And Marlena and Denine and our whole children's ministry team has been doing a fantastic job getting things moving and no doubt trying to provide opportunities for our families. And in this pandemic, everybody seems to be in a different place. And so we're trying hard to meet all of those needs at the same time. And one of the things that we're going to be doing, if you would share, is we're going to be beginning another on-site opportunity here as we move into January for our families. Why don't you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we are thrilled to be able to move forward in offering Awana in person here at Westgate. And what that looks like for us is that obviously you guys know volunteers are a challenge in this season. So we are asking that you partner with us to pray, to seek God and say, we want to offer this opportunity for our families, but we know that we need help doing that. And so please just pray with us. If you're interested in helping us pull that off, you can either go on our website for my information, or it's MarlenaB@westgatechapel.org. Call me. I'm in the office Monday through Thursday. I'd love to talk to you about how you can get plugged in to help serve our families during this really challenging time and to offer something that I know a lot of people are asking for and kids really, really need right now. And then can I just add one more thing? So we're so excited because right now, as you can see, we are doing our super awesome Christmas story this morning. And so I have told the kids that our goal is for you guys to hear us worshiping in there. And we want a little bit of a challenge going between who's having more fun, Marlena or Pastor Adam over there. So just if y'all hear us, we're excited to be worshiping with our kiddos this morning. And we encourage you to get up and do the same.
Awesome. Well, again, thank Marlena for being with us. Again, so excited to have her on board and on our team. And there's no doubt, I believe we're going to have fun in here, but Marlena may have more fun. So super excited. Our kids, I've had the opportunity to go over and see our kids worship that's happening second service, and I love what they're doing. I mean, it is a fantastic way for them to engage in worship in here, but also to have their own thing. So if you have not gotten involved and you would love your kids to be a part of that, check that out, and we're excited about all that is going on in our kids' ministry. Well, hey, it is a great morning to worship the Lord together. Would you stand and join me? Let's pray and offer this next moment of singing to the Lord, to Him. Heavenly Father, we just give You thanks that we can gather here and worship You. You are such a good, good God, and thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. Thank You for giving us a Savior, Lord. And this morning, we gather together and we worship and we sing and we lift praises to You, God, because of who You are and all that You have done for us. So, Father, shape our hearts this morning as we pour them out to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Messiah, oh, to see Him high in this. Just go to him now. I encourage you to take this moment just to bow your head and close your eyes and think about what this season means to you and what it should mean to us. And realistically, we should be adoring him every day of every year. He is worth it. He is worthy of it all. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Oh, come, let us adore.
please just stand here humbly, Father. Humbly before you. Only you are worthy of our praise. Only you are worthy, Father. God, may we just constantly look to you. And we constantly give it all back to you, God, each and every day. As you make us new each morning, Father. Make us new each and every day. May we come before you in adoration and humility. And just this acknowledgement, this perfect and broken acknowledgement, God, that we are in desperate need of you. It's in your holy and precious name that all God's people pray.
Amen. Well, good morning, church family. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
That was weak. Oh, that was so weak. I could literally hear all the people at home louder than you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I love it. I love it. Hey, it is so good to be together and worshiping together today again. Hello to everybody who is worshiping online at home. We are glad that you are joining us and trust that today, again, will be a special time of worship for all of us collectively, especially as we are approaching Christmas. I want to just say a special thank you to all of you who have been participated in our Christmas on Wilford event. Many of you know we were gathering gifts and canned food and all sorts of things, largely to help with Bless a Child down at that neighborhood church in North Toledo. And yesterday we had a number of young kids in that community. I believe it was 73 kids that we ourselves got gifts for, were able to come, and parents were able to shop for those kids. As well, I believe there were 20 additional kids that were able to be served on top of that. And so, church family, I want to say thank you so much for your generosity and the way that you have poured out so much to help this ministry in North Toledo. Because of you and because of your generosity, that neighborhood church is able to buy these gifts and help these families and truly reach into their lives and have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. So thank you for participating. Yeah, that is something to be excited about. As well, tons of canned food was collected. We were able to take that down to Sylvania Area Family Services. One of the things that we can do is be a light and love people in this community who are in need during this season. And so, again, your generosity is just a blessing to me, the way that you have been pouring that out. Now, as Kendra said earlier, obviously, again, we're approaching Christmas Eve services this week. I really hope that you will plan on coming out and joining us, and especially inviting a neighbor or someone to come with you again on the 23rd at 7 p.m. outdoors. And, you know, I've been saying for weeks that I am on my knees. You know, we're doing this 30 days of prayer, and every day I'm going through it. But I'm also adding in that prayer, Lord Jesus, please let it be warm on the 23rd. And I checked my phone app while I was sitting right there, 49 degrees. Right now is what the weather says. So praise God, it's going to hit 50. I'm asking him for it. So I would love for you to come. We recognize that in this season, some people don't feel comfortable yet coming indoors and worshiping, and yet they miss that community of worshiping together. That's why, honestly, I've been praying and saying, Lord, provide us something that can be manageable outdoors so that people can come find that community and worship. Would you seek out your neighbors, your friends, especially those that are uncomfortable, invite them to come. Come with them. Worship with them. And if you'd like to come as well on the 24th, we'll be indoors here at 4 p.m. and we'll be on live stream as well. So we would love for you to gather. We're going to worship the Lord with all of our hearts. Now, this morning, we're going to be diving again into our series that we're doing here for Christmas entitled The Miracles of Christmas. If you've got your sermon notes, would love for you to pull those out and follow along. Now, over this week, One of the things that I heard again as I was heard the TV going on in the background, always in my home, some sort of Christmas thing playing in the background, I heard the phrase come from the TV, it's a Christmas miracle. And you hear this phrase all the time. And I can remember, you know, I've been thinking about what does this phrase mean? It's a Christmas miracle, you know, when it gets said. And, you know, I can think when I was young and, you know, 5, 6 years old, and I'd get up super early, 5 a.m., and go run to wake up my parents and dive under the Christmas tree. Now, usually in my household, there was always one gift that was probably the bigger gift that was near or under the tree that was not wrapped. And so we'd go running out to see what that was. And it was a Christmas miracle, you know, when you got there and you saw that thing that you had been wanting. Or maybe it was on those Christmases where maybe I opened up a toy or something that I got and it was broken. And then my dad, being the fixer that he was able to fix it. And it was a Christmas miracle. Dad fixed the thing that I wanted that was broken. You know, a few years ago, my family surprised our families, our parents, back in California, and flew back to, they didn't know we were coming on Christmas Day, and so we showed up and surprised them, and I can remember one of our parents exclaiming, it's a Christmas miracle, you know, as we're walking in the door, so excited. You know, for me, now that I'm older, especially, and value things like sleep, when my kids don't wake me up at 5 a.m. to open presents, it's a Christmas miracle. I love it, right? After the end of the first service, one of the people on our worship team walked up and said, you ended 2 minutes early. It's a Christmas miracle. I don't find it funny. I don't know why y'all are laughing at me, but, you know, I'll see what I can do to slow down by 2 minutes. Anyway, okay, so, or speed up. Think about where this phrase came from. Oftentimes, we see it in movies, right? I think of the movie White Christmas. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's about this group that did like this singing and dance sort of thing, and this miracle happens when they bring their show to a failing resort that was in upstate New York, and they bring this show. All these people come. This resort is kind of breathed new life into it. It snows, and everybody has a happy ending, and what do they exclaim? It's a Christmas miracle. You think of the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and everyone does their part to share and to save the bank and ultimately to save Jimmy Stewart's life in the movie, and what do they exclaim? It's a Christmas miracle. I think of the movie A Christmas Story, right? When Ralphie gets his Red Ryder BB gun and doesn't shoot his eye out, it must be a Christmas miracle. When I think of the Grinch, and the Grinch steals Christmas, but then the Whos down in Whoville show him what the true meaning of Christmas is about, and it says that their love causes his heart to grow. We think, oh, look at that, a Christmas miracle. The one thing that I know many of you in this room, as I've talked about year after year after year, is that you understand a Christmas miracle because you're watching those forsaken Hallmark Christmas movies, right? And those Hallmark Christmas movies, have you noticed they all have the same exact plot line? It doesn't matter what year it is. Trust me, try this on for size. A young lady runs a small business or lives in a small town. The small business or small town is threatened by an evil corporate villain. Her life is compounded with difficulty because she's also with the wrong guy. You're sensing it, you know. Then, but behold, the right guy has actually been there all along, adoring her from a distance. And it takes her roughly 86 minutes to figure out that he's so much more than just a nice guy. But somehow, this nice guy helps her save the day after she thought he was going to leave with another girl. And then the day is saved. They profess their love. The small business or small town is saved. They come out to celebrate. There's Christmas lights and music and cheer everywhere. They kiss, and voila, the Christmas miracle. Yeah, I like that. Save yourself 86 minutes. All right. Now go enjoy them. We need it this season. All right. So the idea behind a Christmas miracle is this, is that someone is down on their luck. They're in need. They're needing to find love. And out of nowhere, something magical happens at Christmas time to save the day. This morning, I want you to think about the story of the real Christmas miracle. Much like what we just talked about and how these movies always portray themselves, somebody's down on their luck, as we talked about last week, God's chosen people at the time of Jesus' birth were suffering under the weight and hand of Rome. They were living a miserable life, and they were waiting and hoping for a Savior that had been promised to them, and yet they had been waiting for over 700 years. and enter into the story in the book of Luke and throughout the Gospels, a young Jewish girl, 13 to 14 years of age. She came from a very small town of Nazareth. And if you know anything about what they say in Scripture about Nazareth, is Nazareth was a place where nobody came from. If you were from Nazareth, you were a nobody. There was no importance to who you were as an individual or a person. So here's this young girl, 13 to 14 years of age, who comes from relative obscurity, and she is betrothed to an upstanding man by the name of Joseph. And the understanding is that they were betrothed to one another. What this meant in their culture is essentially they were already married, except for the fact that they weren't intimate with one another. And so they were considered, though, in every other way to already be married. And a couple that was betrothed would essentially spend a year preparing for the wedding ceremony. The young lady would be at home with her family while the husband would go off and he would work and do all of the preparations, not only for the wedding that was to come, but also to make sure that he was making preparation for his future family. And who knows what this young 13 to 14-year-old girl was doing on that day when she received the greatest surprise of her life. Maybe she was out taking care of the normal family responsibilities. Maybe she was winnowing wheat. Maybe she was milking the cow. Maybe she was drawing water from the well, going about her daily duties and minding her own business, when out of nowhere, God invades her life. In the book of Luke, it tells us that an angel appears to her, and her reaction is one of being completely scared or terrified. Now, I believe that when we read this in Scripture, it's probably understatement of the year. Could you imagine what it would be like for you if you were just going about your daily duties at home, maybe kicking back on the couch, and all of a sudden, right there in front of you, boom, this huge angel, wings and glowing, and thinking to yourself, what on earth is happening? I mean, I can't imagine how Mary in that moment either didn't drop dead or jump up and run for her life. But what we do know is that the passage tells us that she was terrified. And yet the first words from the angel are this: Mary, do not be terrified. And then he says this: Mary, you have found favor with God. There is something uniquely special about you. You have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Can you imagine Mary sitting here in this moment? This angel tells her to not be terrified. Don't be scared. Mary, you found favor with God. And then he begins to share with her, you, Mary, are going to be pregnant. Wait a second. But I'm betrothed to Joseph. What does that mean for me? And then he goes into telling her about all these things, about this child that's going to reside in her. And what he begins to describe to her is the hope that God's people had waited over 700 years for. He says to her, the Lord will give to this child the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never come to an end. The one who is going to be within you is the Messiah that Israel has long awaited for. And Mary, sitting here perplexed at what she hears, says, how can this possibly be? I'm a virgin. I'm betrothed to be married. How can I be with child? And the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And as I think about and I read that passage of Scripture and I try to put myself into Mary's shoes, I can only imagine what it would be like. On one hand, the Savior of God's people will reside within me. I've been chosen and found favor. And yet, on the other hand, I'm going to be pregnant. And yet, I'm betrothed to Joseph, and what is he going to think? What is he going to say? What will other people think? But God's chosen me to hold inside of me the one who is going to change the course of history. How, what do I do with these two things? And what does the Bible say is her response? She says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." The angel couldn't have spoken more true words when he said, "You have found favor, Mary, with God." Because her heart was soft. Her love for the Lord was deep. And as she stands here in this moment that no doubt took her by surprise, her heart was soft before the Lord enough to say, even in the middle of this tension that I don't know what to do with, God, I will follow you. We began talking about this last week. God's people and literally the entire world were in need of a Savior. And the first miracle of Christmas that we talked about last week was the news that we just saw that the angel shared with Mary. In your notes, miracle number one is that Emmanuel has come, God with us. I want you to look at this with me in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. It tells us in the Christmas story here in Luke chapter 2 that Caesar Augustus had issued a decree that the entire world should be registered. And so he tells everyone to get up and to go to their hometown where they would do this census. And as we read in verse 4, it tells us that Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So at least here, at the very beginning of the story of Christ's birth, we see that Joseph has stuck in there with Mary, right? We know from the scriptures that an angel also appeared to Joseph to explain what was going on. And at this point, we see that he is trusting and that he himself is following. And in verse 5, it says that he went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And verse 6, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. What we read here is what we talked about last week, is that Emmanuel, God, is now with us. What we understand from what we have read in the scriptures this past week is that we understand Jesus, when he was born into this world, was literally God become flesh. God himself became a man. He left the glory of heaven, the place where he is worshiped by angels day and night, where he sits on his throne, where he is enthroned in a perfect place with no sin, with no sickness, with nothing. It is a perfect place where God resides. And what we understand from the scriptures is that God himself left heaven and entered into a broken world. But he didn't just enter into the broken world, he also entered into a broken body. Because the God who is before all things and above all things, who created all things, who is in control of all things, who has all power and might, of whom there is no greater, it tells us that he humbled himself, even in light of his position of power, so that he could become a man and take on a broken body of flesh and bones to be just like us. And in so doing, he demonstrated to us the depth of his love, that he hasn't abandoned us, that he has come to restore us in our broken relationship with God, and that this broken world is not the end, that there is an incredible hope that we have that lays before those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Yet what I want you to catch, what we talked about last week, is this, is that the true miracle of Christmas is not only God with us, but as we will talk about this morning, the true miracle is not only God with us, but Christ in us. Don't get me wrong, it's not that God with us isn't an incredible miracle, because it is. But there's so much more than just the fact that God came to be with us in this world. God's people had waited for his physical arrival for the physical arrival of the Messiah for so long. But what they couldn't comprehend and what they didn't understand is that he came for so much more than just taking away the physical broken world that they were living in. He came to take away the brokenness of our souls. You know, for me, when years ago I shared with you in 1999, I had the opportunity to go to Israel with my school, University, Bala University, where I was studying. And one of the things that I was so excited about for going on this trip is that I convinced myself that in going to Israel, I was going to have the opportunity to go and to see the literal places where Jesus had walked. And it felt as though by going and doing this, that I was going to be able to get as close as humanly possible to Jesus himself. Like, I was going to go and stand in the places where he stood, walk in the places where he walked. And I was so excited, and I felt like this was going to radically change and transform my own walk with him. And I can remember that one of the places that I was super excited to go to was to Bethlehem. I wanted to walk into the stable, and when I walked into the stable, I wanted to see the hay, I wanted to hear the cows, and I wanted to smell, I didn't want to smell the sheep, but you know, you get the picture, right? I wanted to walk into the experience and feel like I was there as close as physically possible to where Jesus was, and yet I was wholly disappointed. If you've ever gone to Israel, when you go into Bethlehem and you go to the place where they believe that Jesus was born, there is this massive ornate church that is built over the site. And when you go inside, it's like full of ornate structures. It looks nothing like, I'm like, look, where are the cows and where are the sheep? Like, this is not what I pictured. And then they tell you they're going to take you to where they believe Jesus was born. So you go down these stairs down into the basement, and there on the ground is this ornate star on the ground. They say, that's where he was born. I was so disappointed because I looked at him and walked out going like, man, I wanted to feel like I was in that spot, like I was close to where he was, and yet it left me feeling unfulfilled. He wasn't there, but I learned something incredibly important on that trip, and God did a miraculous work in my own heart in understanding this. What I learned is I didn't have to travel halfway around the world to find Jesus. What I really walked away with in that disappointment was understanding that I don't have to go all the way around the world because he lives in me. And that is the true miracle of the Christmas story. It is not just God with us, but it is Christ in us. Miracle number two that I want us to look at briefly together this morning is this beautiful truth of Christ in us. And I want you to go with me to a passage this morning where Paul talks about this with crystal clear clarity. It is not your typical Christmas passage, but it explains the beauty of what we have received in this gift at Christmas time. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to take a look together at verses 25 through 27. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. Before we dive into that, as we look at verse 24, Paul is talking about the sufferings that he is enduring here in this passage as he is speaking to the church in Colossae. No doubt this church had a ton of Gentiles that were living in it and worshiping in it. And he's talking about the sufferings that he is enduring for their sake, for the sake of the church. And he says in verse 25, as he talks about these sufferings for the sake of the church, he says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. In other words, what he says is this: I've been suffering for the sake of the church, but the call that God has placed on my life is to come and to share with you the good news that God has sent. And he says this, he says at the end of verse 25, to make the word of God fully known. Verse 26, the mystery that has been hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to think about these words that Paul speaks to these Gentile believers, these Gentile Christians. He speaks of a long hidden mystery, letter A in your notes, this long hidden mystery that has been hidden for a long time. I don't know about you, but there's something for me that is deeply satisfying about solving a mystery. Would you agree? I mean, seriously, tell me, if anybody here can ever solve the mystery of where the socks go after they get into the dryer, I would love to know. That would be incredibly satisfying and a Christmas miracle for me. But I want you to think about how satisfying it is. My life group a few years ago, 10 of us had the opportunity to go, and we celebrated Christmas together, and we went to a place called Trapped Toledo, to an escape room where they shove you in a room for an hour, and you've got to figure out all these different clues and all these different riddles to try within about an hour's span of time to get out of this room that you're trapped in and to solve this mystery of, basically, I think our mystery was a Christmas theme, and it had to do with an elf, and we were trying to save him, something like that, and we were going to save Christmas. But as we would go through it, we would all spread out through the room, and we're looking for the clues, and we're trying to figure out the riddles and to work together. And the most satisfying part is as that clock was ticking down, with about a few minutes to spare, we were able to get out of the room and to actually complete it. And there was something deeply satisfying about solving this mystery. And I want you to listen to what Paul has to say here about this ministry. He says, there is this incredible mystery, and it has been hidden for ages and generations. Here's what's so incredible about this mystery, is that while it has been hidden for ages and generations, all along throughout the whole of Scripture, there have been clues and indicators that God has been leaving so that you can know what this mystery is. And yet we understand that no one had yet quite figured out this mystery. But the incredible mystery, as Paul is speaking, he says, has now been revealed. It's been revealed to God's chosen people, and it is a mystery. It is a gift for you. What is this mystery that Paul is talking about to the Gentiles? He says that this mystery, this incredible gift, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, what he explains to them is this, is that we as God's chosen people understood we were God's chosen people, that the gift was for us, that he was for us, and that he had come for us, that he was sending a Savior for us. But what has been revealed, and that I have the joy to share with you, is that Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, he is going to indwell non-Jewish people. The miracle in itself is the joining together of Jew and Gentile, a group of people that hated each other. And within it, God would restore nations, God would restore races, God would restore cultures. But even more important, what God would do in bringing them together under his leadership is that God would restore the broken relationship between himself and all of mankind. The miracle that we see here is this, is that God himself would come and live within them. And they, the Gentiles, would now be full heirs of the covenant promise that was made to Abraham. You see, the Jews were really good at talking about the fact that they were God's chosen people and that God was for them. And they often looked at the part of that Abrahamic covenant that talked about the fact that from Abraham would come this incredible nation, and they were it. They were the promised ones. But they often ignored the very last words of this covenant that are so true and that is part of this mystery that Paul is now explaining. And in that covenant, it says that God says to Abraham, for in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Every single last one. And they will be blessed by Christ being in you, the hope of glory. He comes to give them this message that the Jewish Messiah will live in you, that they will have this hope of glory. This hope of glory that the passage talks about is the glory which Adam and Eve shared with God in the Garden of Eden prior to the fall, prior to sin, where they lived in a perfect relationship with God, where he provided everything that they needed. That is the hope of glory. It's the same glory that Adam and Eve lost when they rejected their relationship with God and believed that they could do better without him. And this is the same glory. The same glory is what Christ came to restore in the world through all of mankind. It's an incredible story. And letter B, what we see is that this is incredible news for all of mankind. And oftentimes when we read a passage like this, we allow the importance and the significance of this moment to pass us by as we see Paul telling the Gentiles that this incredible mystery, this incredible gift is for you. We often don't get it. We're like the kid on Christmas who walks outside and sees out in the middle of the street this car that is wrapped with a big, nice red bow and looks and goes, well, who's that for? Not realizing that the gift is actually for him. I want you to think about it in this way, because what we often don't understand is this truth. Friends, do you realize you are the Gentiles in this passage? If you do not come from that Jewish line as the Jews did, you are the Gentiles that this passage speaks of. You are the rest of the world that now, because of Jesus Christ, the hope of glory who lives in you, you have the opportunity to experience the fullness of the Abrahamic covenant, the fullness of all that God has for the entire world. What we don't often understand is that we are the Gentiles. The incredible mystery is that Christ in you is not just a promise for the Jews, but it is the hope for all of mankind. And I want you this Christmas season especially to grab hold of just how precious that gift is. We are living in a time in our world and in our culture where our world is grasping for something to hope in. We think to ourselves, if the right person gets elected to be president, then I will have the hope that I have long been looking for. We think to ourselves, if Uncle Sam decides to send me another stimulus check, give me a little bit of money to help me keep going, maybe that will be the hope that I'm looking for. Better yet, if the government can hurry up and get out that vaccine and spread it to everybody, then maybe just then I will find the hope that I'm looking for, because right now everything seems to look kind of dim. And we sit here and we think to ourselves of like, I can find hope in all these things in the world, but what we fail to recognize is that when we put our hope in the things of this world, things like people, things like money, things like vaccines, what we fail to remember is that we may be able to stave off death, but the one thing that is certain in this life is that we will all die. We may be able to push it off for a few months, a few years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but the truth is that we see in God's word is that because of sin and our separation from God, we will all one day die and be separate from Him. But the incredible news for all of mankind is that you are not left in that place. That not only has God come to be with us, but Christ has come to be in you, and He is the hope of glory. That though this world fails you, that if you put your faith and trust in Him as your personal Lord and Savior, one day you will be with Him. When the brokenness of this world passes away, you will spend eternity with Him, experiencing the hope of glory, because Christ is in you. And letter C, Paul explains to us the abundant riches of this mystery are yours if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And the value of these riches of this mystery are beyond any and all comprehension. Yet so many people don't see its value. It's like when I was a young boy and had collected all of the Star Wars characters that I possibly could, the original ones, every single last one, filled up my Darth Vader case with them. Had the Ewok Village, the AT-AT, I had the Millennium Falcon, I had every toy you could possibly think of, and then I got to be close to junior high age, and I decided to myself that I wanted a few bucks at our garage sale, so I would sell everything because I was too cool to play with that kind of stuff. I wanted some electronics, and so my father looks at me and goes, don't do it, Rob, don't sell those things, they're going to be collector's items, they're going to be worth a lot of money, and he went back and forth with me, and I didn't listen, so I decided to sell them to this nice little family that walked up for some 15 bucks. Yeah, I know. I hear the little giggle. I feel it deeply. Years later, when the new movies for Star Wars came out, and I counted up in the collector's item stores thousands, tens of thousands of dollars of stuff that I gave away for $15 because I didn't understand the incredible value that I held. Paul says that this mystery is ours and it is abundant in His riches. And it's so easy for us to miss the value of this mystery of Christ in you. And I want you to grab hold of it this morning. Because of sin, we are destined for nothing more than the brokenness that this world offers and eternal separation from God. But when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible tells us that God Himself literally comes and dwells within us, that we receive the forgiveness of sin and we have the assurance of salvation. It tells us in God's word that we become a full citizen of the kingdom of heaven, literally a child of God. It's not as though we walk into heaven's doors and they go, oh, look at you, you barely made it in. No, you are an heir, a full child of God, accepted as you are. And where you can't be good enough even in this life as you walk with God, Jesus is, because Christ is where you find your strength. And as he lives in you, he is transforming you day by day as you yield your heart and yield your life to him. And scriptures tell us that the hope of eternity is yours. There are abundant riches in this mystery that has now been revealed to us, that Christ lives in us. And this morning, as we consider everything that is going on in the world around us and how this world fails us, and we consider this incredible gift that is given, that we celebrate at Christmas time, not just God with us, but Christ in you, you can have the opportunity today to receive this precious gift of Christ coming and living within you, and you can have the promise of the hope of glory, that one day when this failing world passes away, that you can be with God forever in paradise. I want you to think about this. As I said before, we think to ourselves, maybe a vaccine will save us, but it won't. Death in this life is certain. But you can have the hope of glory today by choosing to put your faith in Jesus Christ and inviting him to come and to dwell within you. And if you are here today and you have never made that decision, but you have been thinking about your mortality, you've been thinking about the brokenness of this world and how it always fails, the fact that whatever we try to grasp onto in this life and find hope in, it seems to be like sand running through our fingers. Maybe today is the day where you recognize that God is coming to you and saying, I can give you the hope that you are looking for. Would you place your faith and trust in me? And if God has been leading you to that moment this morning, I would love to give you an opportunity to place your faith in him today. Would you all bow your heads with me and close your eyes? If the Lord is calling you to this place today where you want to put your faith and trust in him and receive this incredible gift that he has given to you, I want to ask you to pray this prayer of commitment with me. And I want you to understand that. The prayer I'm going to ask you to pray is not a magical prayer. There's nothing super special about it. It doesn't like magically save you, but what does save you is the commitment of this prayer, the commitment that you are making in your heart to believe and to trust in and to follow God and all that he has done for you. And so if you would like to make that commitment today, I'd encourage you in the quietness of where you are sitting in your heart to pray these words with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift that you have given me in Jesus Christ. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I confess to you that I have failed you in many ways. I confess to you that I have tried to find my joy and satisfaction outside of the relationship that you have intended for me. But this morning, Lord, I declare that I believe in you. And I declare that I believe that Jesus died to pay the penalty for my sin so that I could be restored in a relationship with you. And today, God, I choose to put my faith and my trust in you. Thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation that you give. Forgive me of my sin. Wash my heart that it would be as white as snow. And God, thank you for the incredible gift that you have given me of salvation. To the glory and praise of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer this morning, I want you to know that you can have, and you do have this morning, that hope of glory, the assurance that one day when this world does pass away, that you will be with God. And I would love the opportunity to talk to you more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you prayed that prayer, I would love for you to follow up with me today, to come and to talk with me about what it means to walk in this relationship with God. But you have made one of the most important and incredible decisions of your entire life if you have prayed that this morning. But I also want to say to those of us that are here that maybe have been walking with God our entire life, we have been seeking God and walking with him. One of the things that I recognize is that it is also very easy for us to begin living this life in our own strength and in our own power. And as we talk about the Christmas message and Christmas story this morning, and this thing that Paul is talking about, that it's not just Christ with us, but it is Christ in us. What I want you to understand is that God designed your relationship with him to be lived in his strength and in his power. And my hope for you as we go through this Christmas season is it's easy for us to go through it and to just treat it as a story that we have heard before. It's something that we hear year after year. I've preached on it a number of times, and I will preach on it probably 1,000 times if the Lord gives me life to do so. But there is something unique as I've studied it this year that really stands out to me, and I hope that it's unique to you. Is it in the midst of what's happening in our world today? What God has really done in my own heart has helped me to see not just the brokenness of this world, but the incredible beauty of the gift. Not just God with us, but Christ in me. That he lives in me, that he resides in me, and that he wants to give me the strength and the power to live this life that I cannot live without him. Would you cling to the beauty of that gift this year that God has given you? It would be very easy for us to go through the Christmas season and look at the negative of what's happening in our world and culture, but I want you to walk out of here with this truth today. I want you to find joy in this season of uncertainty, for as we walk through it, we walk through it knowing that the hope of glory lives in us. The hope of glory lives in you. So worship him with every breath that he gives you. Father, thank you for this gift. Change our perspective this morning, Lord. That as we approach this Christmas season, that we wouldn't approach it just thinking about what has been lost in this season, but what can be gained when we allow you to have the primary spot in our lives. Thank you that God, you would come down into this world to leave the glory of heaven and take on a broken human form to live and then to die so that we could be restored in a relationship with you. And then you went beyond that and you have told us that you have come, and when we place our faith in you, that you come and literally live within us and give us the strength and the power that we need to live this life in a way that is glorifying and honoring to you. You couldn't give us anything greater, God. And so we worship you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come let us adore, oh come.
God is good. Amen. God is so good. We have been given such an incredible gift in Jesus Christ. And again, my hope and prayer for you is that as you go through this Christmas season, as you walk through this week, dealing with all the stuff that's happening outside these walls or outside the walls of your home, is that you would walk with your head high with a sense of hope and joy because Christ lives in you. And you have the hope of glory. But more importantly, as you go out, please do not forget that that hope is not just for you. That God has given you that hope also so that you can go out to a world that is searching for something to hope into. And you can give them that same gift that is for them. So church family, as you go out this Christmas season, look at the people that God is placing around you. The neighbors, the family, the co-workers that are looking for hope, and share the hope that you have to the praise of Jesus Christ. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you on Christmas Eve. Have a good night.